for tapes of end-time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, May the 28th, 2004. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Cheryl Batts of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister on this tape.
I am so excited to be before you this afternoon, and I'm excited about what God is doing in the body of Christ. I am excited because I know that what God wants to do is see us all set free. I know that God has His mind and His heart stained on each of us. I know that He loves us, and I know that He will do everything that He possibly can to see us all set free. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to speak to you today. I've been, I will not say that I was controlled, but I was certainly asked to re-minister what we talked about upstairs. So for the lady's sake, I hope that I don't get boring. I'm going to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to say it just a little bit differently and cause you to see something that you did not see or hear upstairs that will continue to set you free. Amen? Let's go to the Father. Father God, we just thank You for this afternoon. I thank You for the men and women of God that sit here, Father God, waiting for You to come today to bring the Word. I thank You, Father God, that once again that we sit at the table that You have prepared for us, and it's a smorgasbord feast like none other that we've seen. There's something, Father God, in Your Word for everyone. And we thank You, Father God, for giving us an opportunity to feast at the table. We ask You to bless those that are in the house. Bless those that work on these campgrounds, Father God. Preparing and creating the atmosphere for us to come and to receive Your Word. Father, I decrease right now that You may increase and continue to work in and through me, Father God, so that Your Word will go forth with power and might. Father, I give You the praise and the glory and the honor. We bind every hindering spirit. We bind all spirits of sleepiness right now in the name of Jesus. We bind every spirit that questions what's going on here, Father God, and that they will seek by their spirit what the Holy Ghost wants to do in them and not be concerned about who's sitting next to them. Father God, we give You the praise that this word that You have given and will give will fall on good ground and do good seed will fall, Father God, and it will grow, Father God, and grow and grow. We thank You. We give You the praise. We give You the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, my name is Cheryl Batts. How many of you are new down here?
Never been here before.
Oh, lots of people. Okay. Well, my name is Cheryl Batts, and I'm a licensed and ordained minister with John Eckhart's ministry in Chicago, Illinois. And I've been ministering the Word since as a minister, per se, since 1990. But I have been in the ministry of deliverance since 1986. We were taught and sat under Win Worley before he passed away. So I'm kind of an old-fashioned deliverance preacher, and I believe that the things that were set in motion laid a good foundation for the things that we are teaching and today, and that some things you don't want to forget, some things you cannot lay aside. The Lord has placed on my heart today to minister and to actually just talk to you about the spirit of abuse. The spirit of abuse. And it has there are four types of abuse: physical, verbal, emotional, and spiritual. Now, we may not get into all of them in depth, but I am going to go the way that the Holy Spirit tells me to go. And there's not as much scripture as there is experience that you're going to hear, either my own or someone else's experience. And what we've done is put it in a format that is understandable that will cause you to think. Now, we have two scriptures on abuse that would be found in 1 Corinthians 7 and 31 that you can use as a personal reference as we begin to go into spiritual abuse. Romans, the second chapter, verses 1 through 9, also holds information on abuse. And as we discuss abuse, you're going to find generational sin, which is found in Exodus 20 and 5 and 34, 6 and 7. You will also understand that with abuse, there's anger, bitterness, rage, rejection, and rebellion, found in Matthew 15 and 19. There are sexual sins that bring about verbal, emotional, spiritual, and physical abuse. And these are talked about in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 8. And of course, we know about the curses in the spirit realm that can come on a family, curses of incest, the vagabond spirit that causes you to want to run away. Sometimes that spirit comes out of being in a home that was abusive, and you always want to kind of like just get away. Anytime something looks like it's going to get a little shaky, people start getting a little loud, you find yourself breaking into a little sweat, turn a little red, and you be trying to get to the door so you can leave, you know? And that is all coming out of curses that you came up under as a child. Most of what we're going to talk about probably ties into arrested development as well, because much of the abuse that happens to us and that we allow to happen to us has come out of things that happened to us when we were children. There are times when people respond and react in a basic conversation where you ask them a simple question, so you think, and they just go, as they say, to the left. They're not able to just stand and answer the question. And you're trying to figure out, what did I say? You might not have said anything. They may be emotionally responding to something that happened to them when they were a child. It may have been the tone of your voice when you said it. It may have just been the way you said it. It may have been the word that you said that triggered something. And now they're just like in this tangent, and you cannot figure out for the life of you what you've done. Occult practices will also open the door to types of abuse. Amen? Physical abuse is the type of abuse that rarely needs a description. It is happening all over the world. This type of abuse is done in a large part to women and children, although there are reported instances where men have been physically abused by women. Verbal abuse, the Bible condemns name-calling in more than one instance in Scripture. Emotional abuse is underneath all other types of abuse. The most damaging aspect of physical, sexual, mental, and all other forms of abuse is the trauma to our hearts and souls from being betrayed by the people that we love and trust. Spiritual abuse. This type of abuse is difficult to identify because it often gets passed off as normal behavior. Another name for this type of abuse is charismatic witchcraft. Verbally abused people. I'd like to ask you, first of all, what is verbal abuse? I'm going to mention some things, and I want to know, you don't have to raise your hand, but you need to know whether or not you can identify with any of these things that I'm going to mention. Name calling, the game of one-upmanship. Like you always got to be one up on the person that's talking. You got to have the last word. Feeling defeated, being put down, always being topped. Countering. In other words, they'll tell you something and you'll say, well, yes. And then you'll say, well, you know, you did such and such. And they said, but you know, you did. That's countering. Being manipulated, being criticized. Hard selling, having your spouse try and convince you that you are wrong. Being intimidated, crazy making, having your spouse make you feel crazy that you're the one with the problem. Feeling hostile aggression from your spouse, having your feelings invalidated, observing your spouse misuse power, having your perspective undermined and discounted. If you can identify with any of those things, then you are either verbally abusing someone or you have been verbally abused. The partner of a verbal abuser may experience, and at this point we're talking about verbal abuse as it is perpetuated against a woman. a distrust of her spontaneity. She has a loss of enthusiasm. She's always prepared and on guard because she don't never know when you're going to snap. An uncertainty about how she is coming across. So therefore, she's afraid to talk to you, afraid to share her innermost feelings with you because she's not sure how it's coming across and how you feel about that. A concern that something is wrong with her. She's always concerned that she has the problem. It's never that maybe the problem is outside of her or it's with someone else. It's like she has the problem. An inclination to soul searching and reviewing incidents with the hope of determining what went wrong. Always spending time thinking about that argument that happened and how it happened and what she could have done to stop it and what she did wrong. And never finding it because it's not there. A loss of self-confidence, a growing self-doubt, an internalized critical voice. In other words, there's a voice that constantly tells her that there's something wrong with her, that she's a bad person, or that whatever she does is wrong. Everything she puts her hand to turns out bad. A concern that she isn't happier and ought to be. Now, you're verbally abusing her, but she's concerned about not being happy. An anxiety or fear of being crazy. A sense that time is passing and she is missing something. A desire not to be the way she is. You're just too sensitive. You're too emotional. A desire, a hesitancy to accept her perceptions. A desire to escape or run away. A belief that what she does best may be what she does worst. If she's a minister, all of a sudden she can't minister well because verbal abuse says, and that little clicking voice tells her that she doesn't know what she's doing. If she's a musician, all of a sudden she's not playing good enough. She's not playing well enough because she's been verbally abused to think that she's not. Whatever it is that she does well, all of a sudden she can't do anything because she's being verbally abused and constantly torn down to a place where she has no personality, no character. She has no self-esteem. And once the self-esteem is gone, then she more or less becomes a robot. And that's exactly what the abuser is looking for. A tendency to live in the future. She begins to think, well, everything will be okay after this baby comes. He'll change. He'll be okay. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. Everything will be fine after we move into this new house. Everything's going to be fine after I work 60 hours a week and I bought this car for him because that's what he wanted. It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine after he gets this car. A distrust of future relationships. These are the things that your partner, your friend, your mother, your sister, your aunt feels when in an abusive situation. There are categories of verbal abuse. Withholding, as the ladies and I discussed upstairs. Relationships require intimacy, which requires empathy. Intimacy cannot be created if one partner is unable to support his partner emphatically. This abuser refuses to listen when she begins to talk and try to explain and say this happened or that happened. He talks over her. She can't get a word in edgewise because what he has to say is more important because he ultimately has so little self-esteem himself that he begins to think of himself as God. And if she does not treat him as such, he just continues to verbally abuse. Whatever she says, it doesn't matter because what he's saying is important, so he's not going to shut up. He's just going to keep talking over her. This violates, as he refuses to listen, he denies her experiences and refuses to share himself. This violates the primary agreement of a relationship. He is withholding. Countering. This is the dominant response to some verbal abusers. He sees his partner as the adversary. If she sees things differently, he may lose control. He may then choose to argue against her thoughts. It prevents all possibility of discussion. It denies the victim reality and prevents her from knowing what he thinks. And as one little sister told us, it also, there is neglect that comes in when you begin to withhold. And as people begin to feel neglected, They kind of go into a shell because it's like little babies when they are born and they're not hugged, they're not touched, they're not kissed. That relationship of intimacy is not there. And neglect begins to set in. Also with neglect, there comes that spirit of abandonment, feeling abandoned. And when you feel abandoned, you want to leave that place and go to another place where somebody can touch you and talk to you and talk to you. And you sometimes all you want is conversation, and you cannot get it. He withholds, and then he counters. Discounting. This denies the reality and experiences of the partner and is extremely destructive. In other words, he discounts everything she is. It doesn't matter what she says. You know, you ain't nothing. Your mama wasn't nothing. Your daddy wasn't nothing. I'm the only thing. If it wasn't for me, wouldn't nobody love you? He's beginning to discount everything, and he's beginning to set her aside, which ultimately could lead to physical abuse. Verbal abuse disguised as a joke. Have you heard people tell jokes, and the jokes kind of have an edge on them? They're funny, but they make fun of or critique something about that individual. Well, that's verbal abuse, and it's disguised as a joke. Perhaps you would call it sarcasm. It's disparaging comments disguised as jokes often refer to the feminine nature of the partner, to her intellectual abilities, or to her competency. Brainwashing effects cannot be overemphasized. Blocking and diverting. The abuser controls interpersonal communication. He refuses to communicate. He establishes what can be discussed and withholds information. The primary purpose is to prevent discussion and to end communication. Accusing and blaming. The abuser accuses his partner of wrongdoing. There is a breach in the basic agreement of the relationship. He blames his partner for his rage, anger, and insecurity. She's sitting on the side of the bed, and he's talked about her so bad, her head is just locked in her shoulders. She can't even look up at him. But whatever he's feeling, it's her fault. It's something that she did. Some of you said, just, why don't you ever say anything right? You're always doing something. You always, just shut up. Judging and criticizing. The abuser expresses judgment in a critical way and expresses a lack of acceptance for his partner. The abuser uses a judgmental tone and makes comments which negate his partner's feelings. Trivial. Being, you know, making everything, you know, real trivial stuff. I've seen people that have verbal abuse. You start telling them that, you know, you need to stop this line of conversation. I am feeling uncomfortable. And they just keep talking, and they just keep going. And you back up and say it again. I need you to hear what I'm saying. I'm listening to you, but that ain't what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that what you're saying is scaring me. I'm saying that what you're saying is not coming across like you think it is. Would you please stop? And then they start talking about mowing the grass. Take the conversation someplace else. If you tell them that it was about mowing the grass that you want to talk to them about, then they start talking about cutting the hedges. And then you start saying to them, what does cutting the hedges have to do with mowing the grass? Now you have taken us to a level where we're talking about apples and oranges. Would you please talk to me about mowing the grass? And they don't want to get back to mowing the grass because now they want to talk about cutting the hedges because they don't want to deal with mowing the grass. Because if they deal with mowing the grass, it gives you validity. So they're going to shut it off. Let me talk about mowing the grass. Let's talk about cutting the hedges. Okay? Undermining. The abuser withholds emotional support, erodes confidence and determination. And did you know that sabotaging is also a way of undermining? You sabotage a person's emotions. You tell us, say, well, baby, we're going to go to the movie. We're going to go see The Passion this week. You know, get the kids, you know, together. Take over to your mom's house. See if she'll watch the kids while we go to the show. And she's just as happy. She's like, oh, we're going to go to the show. You know, maybe we won't have an argument tonight. She gets all ready and everything. She's ready to go. And you walk in the house and say, well, I don't feel like going. We're not going. I don't care. I don't feel like going. You just sabotaged her whole evening. And, of course, I know from experience that there are men who go through this same thing. but for the purpose right now, we're just, I keep saying women, but there are men, I tell you, I know, that are going through this very thing that I'm talking about. So don't think that I'm just hung up on the fact that this happens to women. It happens to women. It happens to children. It happens to men. It is one of the most devastating things I have ever heard of. When I finally came to the realization, and this was not last year, I came to this realization in the past 4 months that verbal abuse, that I had been prepared for it. Just by being black and coming out of slavery, our people, our culture, they are accustomed to verbal abuse. My other minorities, we talked to a sister who was Asian, and the women from that people group, they are easily abused because of their culture and the things that they have gone through. There are some people that just out of their culture group, just out of their lifestyles, that are in a position mentally and emotionally to be verbally abused by people. And until you get the revelation and until God brings you to a point of understanding that verbal abuse can continue till it becomes emotional abuse and then it becomes physical abuse. And people who have usually been in physical abuse, emotional abuse, usually sometimes can get involved in spiritual abuse. It's all the same. It's an abuser that is someone that by one or two or three of all of these methods wants you to do what they want you to do, and they want to control you to do it because it's something they want you to do for them. They are basically people who are powerless themselves, who have not found out whose they are in Christ. They've not dug deep enough to let the Holy Spirit work in them, their personality and their character. So they are reacting and responding as a child. Most of these people have arrested development because they are operating like children. They're operating out of their emotions of what happened to them when they were 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, or what they saw their parents doing. And so they take that into their adult life with them. That is what is so wonderful about deliverance, because the ministry of deliverance will allow you, as you continue to walk with the Lord, as you continue to allow the Word to transform your mind, as you continue to allow the Holy Spirit to take you into deep, calleth unto deep, then God can expose to you those things. I was having that experience, and I did not know what was going on, and I kept saying, wait, please, this conversation is making me nervous. And the person did not want to listen and just kept talking and talking. And I felt like, as I shared with the ladies, you know, the ships. You know, they had back in the old days, and they taught the guys, what is this, you know, with the flags, and they'd be, you know, like that. And, you know, they would send messages and stuff. Well, that's how the Holy Spirit was working in me. Every time when that person did that, on the two occasions, I mean, the first time it was like, you know, wait a minute. But the second time, it was red. I'm telling you, I saw red, and I saw these flags just going off like this. And I was like, whoa. So I got off the phone. And I'm not talk back with them, because I had to understand, what are you saying to me, God? What is it? And then, of course, I began to realize in my own life, it wasn't just that one person, but it was that one person that kicked the switch. You know what I'm saying? And then I looked at the rest of my life, and I looked at the rest of the people in my life. I looked at the groups that I was associated with, that I had meetings with, you know, 2 or 3 times a month. And I began to realize that I was being verbally abused in all of those situations, but I did not know it. I did not know it. So therefore, they were able to, and it's very smooth. It's a very smooth abuse, verbal abuse is. You know, especially for people who come out of that kind of verbal situation. It happens all the time, so you're used to it. People who have not come out of verbally abusive situations, I would look at some of my girlfriends and I would watch them react to certain people. And I was thinking, that is so cool. I wonder when I'm going to learn how to do that. I thought it was something I was supposed to learn. You know, like networking. That wasn't it. So when the light bulb went on, I began to cut these people out of my life. Not because they were bad people, but because I got to get strong enough to understand what verbal abuse is in my own life so that when it happens again, I can say, stop, and I'm not playing. I don't like what you're saying. And if you don't shut up, the next sound you hear will be from my bell, okay? I'm not going there again. Once you get it, once God opens the door for you to get it, then it is your responsibility to stand on that and then to let other people know. Because I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I kind of thought I had a few things going for myself, you know? So when I found that I had fallen into this, I had to, of course, back up and then begin to say, okay, God, what's in me that allowed me to put myself in that position to be verbally abused that many times by that many people? Because every time I would go to a meeting, oh my goodness, you know, I'm here, we're casting out devils, and I love it, and I just thank God, you know, for the work that he's done in my life. And I would get in one of those meetings, and I would feel about this big. And I was like, what is this? And God just began to reveal it to me. And I'm telling you this, we're talking 4 months. So I don't think more of myself than I should. I am still learning, because 300 years of verbal abuse is hard to get rid of overnight, you know? And I continue to work on it. I tell you the truth. I continue to work on it daily because I don't like it. I like who God made me. I will not be any different. I cannot change the way that I speak to accommodate everybody. I just have to believe that who God made me to be, and that the way that I speak, those that are in the room are going to get what God needs for them to have. And those that don't, they just want for me to minister to. But you cannot take your own insecurities anymore and put them off on me. Because now I understand that that's verbal abuse, and that's trying to make me be something that you want me to be. And that's not what God has called us to be. And that is not a point that we are angry with those people. What it is that you begin to pray for them, because as God begins to work in you and strengthen you so that you're not verbally abused, so that you're not a doormat, what happens is you become stronger. And then when you are around those people again and this thing starts to happen, you'll be able to say things to them like, stop, I'm uncomfortable with what you're saying. You know, this is not fun anymore. And they'll stop. Because if they don't stop, then you move away from them. You give them some time. Because many times a person who is verbally abusive is probably, you know, probably on the tape, probably not yet physically going to be abusive to you. And that's where prayer and deliverance in the Holy Ghost become so important. Because we have heard testimonies, not stories, testimonies from each other about how the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us and tell us when to go home and when not to go home. You know, when to go down Broadway instead of Markham because, you know, something happened. I think that many times happens, as we discussed upstairs, that we forget how powerful and how all-assuming God really is. We have God on Sunday and we bring God to our deliverance ministries, but we forget that God will operate in business. He will operate on your job. He will operate in the laundromat. He will certainly operate in your marriage if you are married to a person who is verbally abusive by telling you how to handle him and how to back him down or back her down. But you have to be as determined to understand that God loves you and is as concerned about you in that relationship as he is in spiritual warfare and casting demons out. His love is all-encompassing. The Bible tells us that he delights in us, and that if we delight in him, that he will perfect those things which concern us. He says that in Psalms. He's made it very clear. And if your marriage concerns you and the person that you are married to, then you owe it to your partner to get deliverance so you can cut off his demon or her demon. Because as you get delivered, then that demon has nothing to pull on. It's just standing there flapping in the wind looking real strange. Because you've made up your mind that you're going to receive the deliverance that you need to receive. And see, and that's the other thing. Demons do that. You know, they hook up. That's why they wrote the book, Pigs in the Parlor. So if you get your parlor cleaned out, what is there left for the demons in his parlor to pull on?
or her power, whichever way that it's going. Threatening. This manipulates the partner by bringing up the partner's greatest fears. The threat of loss or pain is often used. You know what? I don't want you, but I don't want nobody else to have you. And then they start telling you what to wear and how to wear. They start cutting you off from your family and everything. And they start threatening you. You know, I'll kill you. And you looking at him and the veins in his neck and went all out. He red, his eyes is bulging out. And he done told you, I will kill you. So now you're really scared. So now he's playing on your fear. So now you're not going to leave because you believe him. You believe that he's going to kill you. So you end up staying in that situation. Name calling. Name calling is abusive. Forgetting. Now, this involves both denial and covert manipulation. The abuser may forget the promises which are most important to his partner. Just like I was saying, you got his mind made up. You told him that he's going to take you someplace. He's going to buy you something or buy something for the baby. And then he says, I forgot. That's why when people tell me they forget things, I kind of have to question that. I say, well, what you mean you forget? You know, what kind of forget? And then, well, what do you mean? I just forgot. Did you forget because I was number 4 on the list? Did you forget? You know what I'm saying? Did you forget because you really didn't want to do it in the first place? Then why didn't you just say that? And, you know, most abusers can't stand that. So that's why I couldn't understand how I let that happen. Because I ask questions. They don't want you to ask no questions. So I'm telling you, this is a very smooth spirit, and we have to be on the guard for it. The other thing is that this the abuser spirit orders. They don't ask. They order. And it denies the equality and the autonomy of the partners. Like being in the service, you get an order and then everybody does exactly what they're told to do. Well, in a relationship, it's not like that. So when the partner is ordering, then there's a problem. Denial is one of the most insidious categories. It denies the reality of the partner. It denies that whatever the partner is, whoever the partner is, whatever they want to do, you deny them that right. You deny them the ability to have a personality or a character to say no or to say yes to whatever is going on. Abusive anger. This arises out of his general sense of personal powerlessness. When the abuser vents anger on the partner, he releases the underlying tension that is felt from his sense of personal powerlessness. The partner feels bad and the abuser feels good. And again, this may not necessarily be, a marriage relationship. This might be between two friends. It might be between two women. It might be between two men. It might be between two friends, a man and a woman. This thing goes on all the time. And until the body of Christ is able to recognize the verbal abuse, it will continue to go on in the body of Christ. And this is how we find so many people coming out of churches that have been spiritually abused. Because somewhere along the line, they've been set up to accept verbal abuse. Patterns which indicate verbal abuse. When interactions which upset, hurt, or confuse the partner, they rarely occur in public. It's behind closed doors. That's why when I pray for women, I will say verbal abuse, words spoken behind closed doors. This guy or this woman will very seldom in public let that thing be seen. It's unexpected. The abuse is unexpected. It just comes out of nowhere for no reason whatsoever. It occurs when she or he is feeling happy, enthusiastic, or successful, something wonderful has happened. You come home, you want to tell them, and bam, they go off. Destroy, sabotage your whole day. Seem to become familiar. If you want to really see them go off, become familiar with them. Now, that's tied into what we talked about before, and that is that spirit of not wanting, of withholding. If you become too familiar and say something to them like, well, you know, I bought this red jacket for you because I know that you like red and it looks so good on you. Who told you I like red? Got 14 red jackets in the closet. But right now, who told you I like red? I don't like red. No, I don't want red. What you talking about? I like red. And all of a sudden, the voice starts raising, and once again, for no apparent reason, they're gone off. Often communicate disdain for her interest, and the abuser does not seem to seek reconciliation or even be bothered by the incident. She maybe likes to go to plays, and she likes to go to the theater, and he wants to go to ball games, so he begins to berate her about wanting to go to the theater, berate her about wanting to go to the movies, and does it in such a way that she just feels like, well, it must be something nasty about this, you know, and then he doesn't bother to apologize for his attitudes or reconciliate, you know, for making her feel bad, and he still, you know, are there any kids in the house? He still wants to go to bed at night and go and play la-la. And I don't know how they feel that you can play la-la if you've been abused verbally all day long. How are you going to play la-la? Between the actions which upset, hurt, or confuse the partner, the relationship seems to be functional. In some way, the partner feels isolated. The abuser defines the partner, the relationship, and most often, the upsetting interactions. The partner does not repeat to the abuser what she hears him say to her. In other words, these are some responses that you should say to an abuser. And because most partners that are part of this abusive relationship will not say these things to the abuser, they keep doing it. Now, basically, you say, I'm feeling very bored with your company when they start abusing verbally. Stop. Hold it. Hold it. Wait a minute. What did you say? Cut it out. Or either you walk away, go to another room, go shopping, do something with the children, go out with the boys, stay away as long as you want. Do not explain yourself to him or her. I'm wondering, now that you have said that and put me down, interrupted me, or laughed at me, do you feel more important? I'd like to think about this. I don't want to talk about it. I'll get back to you later. Stop accusing and blaming me. Don't let me ever hear you say that again. Remember who you're talking to. Don't talk to me like that. I thought you knew better than that. Did you hear yourself? Stop judging me. Cut out the criticism. Enough of that. I don't accept that. Please keep your comments to yourself. This is not your concern. I certainly don't feel supported when I hear that kind of talk. I've heard all I want to hear from you. I don't like your attitude. I'm definitely not having any fun with you. Don't ever call me names. I don't want to hear name calling anymore. Stop it. You may not raise your voice to me. I don't like your tone of voice. And as the ladies and I discussed, these are all very good things to say. But we also know that the person receiving the abuse probably will not be able to make these statements unless they are receiving deliverance and know who they are and have reached a point where they're just not going to take it anymore because it sets up total confusion. One of the things that we were laughing about was a play about a woman called Mud Deer, and it's a play, and it comes, and this woman is she's a character, but at the end of the play, she always has a wonderful, there's always a wonderful end to what she was saying. And one of her girls was being abused by a guy. And she told her, you know, if you tell him you're going to call the police and he backs up, then you know what you got. But if you tell him you're going to call the police and he keeps coming and he draws back and getting ready to hit you, then you better run. So before you make these statements, to me, that's exactly what this is saying. When you get ready to say these things, if he shuts up and backs off, then you know that you are dealing with a person who feels powerless and has some problems, and all this time you've been thinking it was you, that it's not you, that it's him, and you've been playing into his or her insecurities. So in the play, when she said, I'm going to call the police, well, he backed up. And once he backed up, he had beat her up so many times she took off her diamond earrings and she started in on him. Well, you know, that was kind of funny because it took reverse, you know, and everybody was laughing because you always like to see the guy that has been so abusive, you know, get some of his medicine back. But the bottom line is that as you receive deliverance and you are stronger so that you can tell him or her any of these statements, it'll let you know where they're coming from. We had a question about divorce and whether or not, you know, you should divorce somebody if they are abusive and that kind of thing. And it's kind of hard to get into divorce and talk about divorce. I think Patty really brought it down home. You really need to get your deliverance. If you get yourself together, if you get deliverance from all of your insecurities and your doubts and your unbeliefs, because if you stay in this relationship long enough, it is definitely going to affect the way that you view God. Because as you perform, you may be going to church every Sunday, but you're basically at that point performing. If you are really ministering to God and God is ministering to you, then you will find yourself moving away from that relationship at different times and saying things that is far beyond your ability to say and do, because God is working in and through you. So you may not have to get a divorce if you will be let the Lord work in you and bring out of you the your those things that are insecure in you so that you can make these statements. Because the longer we allow people to verbally, spiritually, and emotionally abuse us, we are not doing them any favors. I like to believe that the Bible says, touch not my anointed one and do my prophets no harm. And as they continue to abuse you, you set them up, in my opinion, for God to really give them an awful hard time. So you need to get it together. And so that they can get it together, because you'll never be able to control the other person. And that's usually what happens when God begins to phase out of a relationship with two people like that. All they begin to do is begin to manipulate and control each other. And it just continues to build. And it gets to a point where God is talking, but nobody is hearing God, because there's too much abuse. There's too much low self-esteem. He's talking, but they're not hearing. When you respond to verbal abuse, remember, when you are being put down, ordered around, yelled at, you are being abused. Abuse is unjust, disabling, and destructive. The abuser is not speaking in a rational, adult manner. You are responding to a person who is in some way trying to control, dominate, or establish superiority over you. You have done nothing to cause it. It is not healthy to live in an abusive atmosphere. Distance yourself from the abuser by seeing his immaturity for what it is. Respond with a tone of authority and firmness that shows you are serious and will not tolerate further abuse. Stay aware. Concentrate on the present. Notice what your senses tell you. How do you feel? How does he or she sound to you? What do you see? The effects of verbal abuse. In a verbal abusive relationship, the partner's need to understand and be understood is not met. His or her belief that her or his mate is rational and that understanding can be reached keeps them in the relationship. The victim gradually loses all self-esteem and confidence without realizing it. If the victim is aware of this loss, they do not understand why. As long as the partner believes the abuser is being honest and sincere, they will remain a victim of verbal abuse. Victims of verbal abuse generally are aware of their feelings. However, they believe what their partner tells them about themselves and their relationship. They do not trust what their feelings tell them about themselves and their relationship. The abuser defines the victim's reality, will even tell them how to dress, where to go, what to do, when to be there, how to get there, and what time they better be back, and they better not be late. If they believe them, they will feel confused. This is the art of crazy making. The effects of verbal abuse are primarily qualitatively. In other words, they just build with quantity. The intensity of anguish which the victim suffers determines the extent of the injury. Verbal abuse to me is probably the one that all of us kind of go along with. We talked about offense and not being offended, and how when verbal abuse comes to you, you just, you know, shake it off. And, you know, you don't let it get inside of you. You don't allow it to be like the wiles of the enemy. You use your shield of faith. That can only go on for a period of time. And then after that, it begins to build up.
So I think that today is the day that we as Christians should make up our minds that we will not be a part of verbal abuse. We will not allow people to verbally abuse us. We will not verbally abuse anyone else. Recognize it for what it is. I especially recognize that, you know, the sarcasm that comes with jokes when they talk about another person's insecurity and make that funny. You know, I would laugh, you know. I thought it was, you know, because I know for a fact, having been trained in theater, that most comedians are highly intelligent people. They also read the newspaper, and they can also make a joke out of anything. And so when people can make those kind of jokes, they are very intelligent people because they can take a small thing, a small quirk within your personality and bring that thing against you. And that is where you have to, that is where you have to come to a point where you recognize that it is not funny, that this person is actually being verbally abusive. And if you allow it to continue, it will become emotionally abusive for you. So you have to put a stop to it. The emotional abuse can sometimes make it harder to get in touch with our issues because it's not blatant and obvious. It's very subtle. Some of us were abused and shamed by the way our parents looked at us or said our name or did not see or hear us on a daily basis. Our problem has been that because of our unhealed childhood wounds, it is very difficult to tell the difference between what is an intellectual truth, what we know to be true, and an emotional truth. And an emotional truth comes from our childhood wounds. It comes from something that somebody said to you when you were little, and then as you grow up, that thing never gets healed. And every time somebody say the car is green, you just go, you flip out. And you can't even remember why the car is green sets you off. But it sets you off. And so people around you feel like they're constantly operating and working on eggshells. When one of our buttons is pushed and we react out of the insecure, scared little kid, there's a scared little kid on the inside of us that is full of anger or rage, and they feel powerless, then we are reacting to emotional truth that happens between 5 and 9 and 14, which to me ties us back again to arrested development. So I think that these are the things that we need to look out for. These are the things that come in. They're little foxes. And as we become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, more sensitive to the fruit of the Spirit operating in our lives, and when those little flags go off on the inside of you, pay attention to those things. I did not pay attention until it was very clear to me. And I'm just so grateful to God because I think that we can miss some of the better things in life that God has for us when we continue to operate out of those childhood fears and those childhood wounds. Amen? Amen. Amen. We live in societies that are only a few generations removed from the belief that children and women are property, and not much further removed from so-called civilizations that saw nothing wrong with slavery or genocide. So as we begin to move into this next dispensation that God is doing, and I'm not at all, I'll tell you, I really feel that a lot of the things that we're doing in the body of Christ, I don't know that they're all together necessary, nor do I all think that everything that we do is going to prepare us for when Jesus comes back. I think that what we are doing here, opening ourselves up to the Holy Ghost to be cleared out so that we can see what God wants us to see, so that we can hear what God wants us to hear, is the preparation that is necessary that will have us ready for the end time. Sometimes the building of the churches and the large edifices are not really what God is saying. What He's saying is that we need to be aware of the little foxes. We need to be aware of men and women and children in our community who are being abused. As we get deliverance, we become sharper. We become more in tune to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And as we become more in tune, we can pray more often and we can pray more accurately for those people that are in our surroundings so that we can be the help that people need us to be. We can be the body of Christ that we need to be to help people who are in these situations. There are many times when I have heard of women going to to the church and saying that they're being abused and not receiving any help because the pastor or the associate pastor begins to question them and say, well, what are you doing to cause him to do this and that kind of thing? And that is just makes that person a part of the abuse system that keeps that person in an abusive situation. It's like the movie that was out called The Burning Bed, where this man beat this woman constantly. All she wanted to do was go to school and get an education, and he told her no. I mean, he would beat her to the point that the mother-in-law would not help, the sheriff would not help. She kept turning him in, and they'd let him loose after he, you know, sobered up the next day, and he would beat her again. And finally, she just absolutely snapped. She put the kids in the car, got a can of gasoline, and after he had beat her again, for the 30th to the 40th, the 50th time, she snapped, and she took the gasoline can and poured it around the bed and set it on fire, got in the car, and just drove away. And these stories are happening around us all the time. And what saddens me is when another saint will say, you know, well, they was just in church last week. They looked all right. What's with the looking? What kind of looking are we doing? It's not looking. The Bible says, know those that labor among you. In order for us to know each other, we have to know by the Spirit if there's something going on in somebody's life. And when our hearts are pure and we've received deliverance from our own selfishness, from our own pride, from our own need to be powerful over somebody, God will give you and reveal to you the hearts of the people that are sitting around you. And you would be surprised at the number of people that are operating in fear on a daily basis in leadership positions, that are operating in fear in the body of Christ, that go home to situations that you would not even dream of. But I assure you that God would reveal all of that to us as we begin to pray and begin to seek God for a deeper walk with Him, an earnest walk with Him, a walk that will allow us to walk in the Spirit on a day-to-day basis and know that we know that we know that if God says a thing, it's in our spirit. Can nobody come and tell us not, that's not God? Because we know that we know that we know. Amen? Last but not least, spiritual abuse. It's difficult to identify because it often gets passed off as normal behavior. Another name for this type of abuse is charismatic witchcraft. Individuals in spiritually abusive situations rarely recognize the abuse. The victims are more frequently young and virtually always sincere. Since spiritual abuse is a spiritual problem, the battle must be fought on a spiritual level. What causes spiritual abuse? Two major factors play a part in spiritual abuse. In the spiritual realm, the abuser becomes blinded by the spirits of pride, religion, and control. The abused individuals take their eyes off Jesus and begin to worship the religion and the man instead of Jesus, thus setting up a situation of idolatry. The abused individuals will also become blinded by the spirit of pride and the spirit of religion. Thus, they do not recognize any abuse. The Bible confirms that what the literature has defined as the hallmarks of spiritual abuse: legalism, authoritarianism, manipulation, spiritual intimidation, neglect, and excessive discipline. You can find this in Diotrephes and 3 John 9 and 10. And this is a classic example of a New Testament abuser. And if you go to Ezekiel 22, 27, and 28, it relates a very clear example of spiritual abuse in the Old Testament. Legalism refers to a strict, literal, or excessive conformity to law or a religious code that restricts freedom of choice. Paul clarified the era of legalism in his discussion on circumcision in Galatians 6, 12, and 13, and pointed out that spiritual leaders are given to the church to protect the people from legalists. This is found in Titus 1, 9, and 10. Authoritarianism refers to blind submission to authority. Human beings, it appears, have an insatiable appetite for evangelical gurus, Christian celebrities, super pastors, mega churches, teachers, and experts that can be placed on pastoral pedestals. This need for authority figures arises from the feeling that we need to have someone co-sign for our lives. Jesus noted that the authoritarian teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Matthew 23, 1 and 2. no inconsequential pedestal by any appraisal. But the position they are in is no protection against priests who rule on their own authority. Manipulation. It refers to the artful, unfair, or insidious means by which one obtains his desired objectives. The teaching of false doctrine for any reason falls into this category. Paul suggested these types were masquerading as super apostles to lure people away from the teaching of the true apostles. And we'll find that in 2 Corinthians 11 and 13. Manipulators pose as benefactors, of course, but Jesus warned his disciples never to permit anyone who exercised authority over the church to be called benefactors. Luke 22 and 25. Paul warned Titus of how such influences work against the gospel. Titus 1, 9 through 10. Jeremiah made mention of both prophets and peace who would practice deceit and announce peace, peace, when there is no peace, and display no shame for their manipulation. Jeremiah 6, 13 through 15. One of the best tools of the manipulator is guided Bible study, because it assures that those he is guiding will come to his conclusion. Spiritual intimidation refers to making a person timid or fearful, whether by threats or otherwise, and thereby controlling their actions. This involves more than false teaching. It concerns the motives of those who would intimidate others to establish control over them in the building of little spiritual empires with themselves as emperors. Paul described this kind of intimidation in his letter to the Galatians, Galatians 2, 12 and 13. And it is worth noting that these abusers even intimidated some of the apostles. In our time, the common source of intimidation is a claim that a certain group or church has some special attribute that makes them different and sets them apart from all other groups. For this reason, they claim that the normal criteria for assessing abuse does not apply to their situation. Sooner or later, though, the telltale red flag will appear. The intimidator has received full sanction from God for all his actions. And we've lost a lot of people to those Jim Jones kinds of things, because people have this desire, you know, to be controlled and told what to do. And God did not make us like that. He gave us a mind to think. He gave us a free will to think. So we're not robots. Exactly. And that's what the abuser, the intimidator, wants you to become. You won't think and act just like them. Anything outside of that is looked at as wrong. Neglect refers to the giving of little attention or respect and the leaving of things undone. Within a fellowship, neglect involves the lack of help from others with one's spiritual struggles and the lack of spiritual leaders to put the health of the fellowship ahead of other priorities. Probably the clearest picture we have of the neglect of God's people by those who were committed to caring for them is in Ezekiel 34. It is worthy of review as a warning to everyone, to the neglected about their abusers and to the abusers about their punishment for neglecting and mistreating God's flock. Excessive discipline refers to control gained by the dogmatic enforcing of obedience or order. Obedience and order are impressive. However, they are not of themselves virtues, because they can be found in both the healthy and the unhealthy. In fact, abused people are more obedient and orderly than others, and for good reason. Their discipline can be punishing. This is not like Jesus. Jesus claimed that the weary and heavy laden would find that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And that's in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. What is and what is not abuse? There are some important distinctions to be made between what is abuse and what is not. It is not abusive when a leader uses his judgment and goes against another's opinion. But it is abusive when the spirituality of one with the opposing opinion is devalued because of his opinion. It is not abusive to confront a fellow Christian because of sin, wrongdoing, or honest mistakes. But it is abusive if the purpose of the confrontation is anything but correction, healing, and restoration. It is not abusive if a minister is asked to step down from his position because of emotional, physical, mental, or spiritual problems. But the goal must be to have him receive whatever help is necessary for him to eventually return to his office if possible. It is not abusive or even inappropriate to disagree on doctrines or other issues, even in public. But it is critical that one not belittle or attack his opponent. Also, where abuse is concerned, it must be remembered that abusers may also be victims of abuse themselves. Because abuse is more often perpetrated by people in positions of power, there is a common tendency to attribute the abuse to the abuser's affiliation with a particular group. This should never be one's first conclusion about any abuse. All abuse is perpetuated by individuals upon individuals. It is personal, and there is no reason for any abuser to be excused for his abuse of another. There is, however, a case to be made for labeling an organization abusive. Any group that makes it impermissible to talk about problems, hurts, and abuses is an abusive system. Many reasons get given for secrecy on matters of abuse, but churches should not have secrets. Unfortunately for secret keepers, the fine line between secrecy and deception is nothing more than the perspective of the individual. Moreover, the church that wants to care for victims of abuse must learn that secrecy is counterproductive when it comes to healing the victim. Another unfortunate reality is that the secrecy and denial of abuse in an organization does indeed implicate the whole hierarchy of contributing to the abuse. Abuse should also not be confused with persecution. Persecution is harassment designed to cause suffering because of belief. The persecutor being a stranger or non-believer who inflicts his hurt on a representative of an ideology he disapproves of. Abuse, on the other hand, is inflicted on a fellowship partner that the abuser wants to control. This is a critical distinction to make. Spiritual abusers are as trapped in their unhealthy beliefs as those they knowingly or unknowingly abuse. It is hoped that we can serve both the abused and the abuser through the ministry of deliverance and the word by educating both the damaging dynamics of abuse on all concerned. Amen? Amen. 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 Let us not forget that all of these abuses do affect the relationship with God. That first of all, people learn to be victimized. People lose their ability to trust. The abuse victim will have a problem relating to spiritual authority. Individuals get a distorted view of themselves as Christians. The abused person is usually preoccupied with spiritual performance, and they have the inability to accept grace, the most powerful thing that we have with God. They are unable to accept God's grace. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word on abuse. We thank you that this word shall go forth, Father God, and some light will go on in the hearts of your people, that there will be a deeper understanding and a deeper relationship with you because they understand that abuse is not something that they have to take, that they understand, Father God, that the abuser is only abusing them as far as they let them abuse them. Cause us to be stronger in you. Cause us to be stronger in your word. Cause us to be able to recognize even the little foxes that the enemy has put in our lives to cause us to not to be able to walk in the fullness of your joy that has been given to us. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I'd like for everybody to repeat after me. Father, forgive me for being abusive, verbally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually. And Father, I ask you to help me to forgive those who were abusive toward me. I release them, God, into your care.
And
I ask you, Lord,
to
heal me and to fill me with your word,
to
fill me with your love,
to
help me understand your grace,
to
help me to understand your mercy,
that
I may walk
fully
in the calling
on
my life.
Amen.
Now, Father, we just thank you for these, your people that have come this afternoon, and they have confessed, and they ask you, Father God, they have forgiven those that have been abusive toward them, and they had realized that in order for the abuser to abuse, that they had opened themselves to things, Father God. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord God, to break the curses over the people right now, or the curses of abuse, the curse of abandonment, the curses of neglect, those curses, Father God, that have been spoken over their lives by friends or family, curses that have come down the family line all the way back to Adam and Eve on both sides of the family. Father, I ask you to break the curses of pride, Father God, and deception off of your people right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you to break that spirit of the doormat off of them, God. We ask you to break that spirit, Father God, of deception off of their minds. We come against the spirit of fear, that scorpion nest of fear right now that lies in their stomach, Father God. We ask you to break that thing down in the name of Jesus. We apply the precious blood of Jesus and cause those demons to be scattered. We ask you to raise up a standard, Father God, as they have come in one way, let them be dispersed in seven ways. Father, we come against the spirits of fear right now in the name of Jesus that have lodged itself in their mind and has hooked up with the spirit of mind control. That spirit of mind control that holds them to the past, that causes them not to be able to grow up, that causes them to constantly remember what things were said, and they're unable to move into the present time and live for today and live for those things that you have placed in their lives to do today. Father, we cut that thing off right now in the name of Jesus. We cut off the spirit of mind control. We loose your angels to go in to cut off the tentacles right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we put a wedge between rebellion and rejection right now, and we come against those spirits of rejection that cause the people of God to feel powerless in the name of Jesus. We come against the enemy and the way he has set himself up in their lives, oh God, to cause them to be abused and to be abusers. We break that off of them right now in Jesus' name. We come against mental control and mind control. We come against sexual abuse. We come against it now in the name of Jesus. We come against incest. We come against that spirit of arrested development. Arrested development. We come against you now in the name of Jesus, and we call the people forth out of the past. We call them forth out of the past. We call them forth in the name of Jesus spiritually into today's time. We call them right now from the age of 3, 4, 5, and 6 right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and we apply the blood of Jesus and we usher them forth into 7, 8, and 9, and 10 right now in the name of Jesus. And every hurt, every pain, everything that came through the mother's womb, every spirit of rejection, every spirit of rebellion, every spirit of vagabond, every spirit of escape, every spirit, Father God, that was transferred in, Father God, from illicit sex, we break that off of them right now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we give you praise and glory and honor, and we thank you, Father God, that you are our God. We come against bitterness. We come against bitterness, the root of bitterness that would come up and destroy and touch all of those things, Father God, in their lives, that spirit of bitterness that causes them to speak sarcastically toward people, that causes them to say jokes that hurt and pain people. We come against that spirit right now in the name of Jesus, and we curse it at the root. We come against rage and rejection right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We give you glory and honor right now in Jesus' name. All you devils, begin to link up and to move out. Move out of the mind and the will and the emotions of the people now. Come, Holy Spirit, and move on your people in the name of Jesus. Mind control, go. Mind control right now in the name of Jesus. Mind control. Unwrap and uncoil and untangle off the spirit of arrested development. 10 and 11 and 12. Now move, you devils. Now let the people of God go. We come against that little boy spirit, that powerless spirit. We come against that little girl spirit that wants to be controlled and told what to do. We break you off now in the name of Jesus, and we curse you at the root. You can no longer go. We usher them right now by the power and the finger of the Holy Ghost into a spirit of maturity right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Father God. We give you glory and honor that your people are maturing the things of God, that your people are maturing their emotions, God. We come against those emotional demons right now, anger, wrath, judgmentalism right now in the name of Jesus. You will manifest and go. Get up and go now in the name of Jesus. Move out of the souls of the people now in the name of Jesus. Go, you devils, go now in Jesus' name. Come out of the emotions now in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go. Ra, sha, ta, 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 ta. The inability to give and receive love. Go now in the name of Jesus. You manifest and go. Good soul tiebreaker, you go now in the name of Jesus Christ. We break you up now in the name of Jesus. Good soul tiebreaker, go now in the name of Jesus Christ. Rasha korebe sa ta ta nama yiso korobo si ta. Roshi ma di di o so te. Nandi di o se. Roshi ki da ro se manda le koreba sa ta. O rabasi ka. Nandi di o son di di o son de yar. All you demons, link up and go now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory and honor. We in Jesus' name. Bitterness, go. Bitterness, revenge. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to get them back for what they done. You manifest and go. You manifest and go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's right. Keep going. In the name of Jesus. Manifest and go. Spirits of cancer. Spirits of arthritis. Spirits of rheumatism. Spirits of bursitis that have come in from holding in anger and hatred and revenge. Move off the people of God right now. We curse you at the root in the name of Jesus. We loose the angels of God to go in and to drag you out by the root. In the mighty name of Jesus, come out of the bodies of the people of God now. Come out of their bones right now in the name of Jesus. You devils, go. Come out of the bones. Out of the bones in the name of Jesus. Go. Rosh shoko robe seke na robe seka. Oh, rebe sa ta 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 ta. Roshi na ma yiri di o sonde. Roshi ke ma yiri di o sa ta. Mandi di o shandi di o sa ta. Nindi di o se. Rosha ma yiri di o sande. Rosha ma yika yiri di o se. Andi di o sama. Lo se pa yiko rabasata. Uramasikan di di o se. Oh, thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory and honor. We love you, Lord, for there is none like you. Ando rebe si koma yiridiose. Andiridiosata yiridianda. We come against that spirit of deception and pride, not being able to remember scripture. We come against mockery and rage and anger and stress and jealousy right now in Jesus' name. We come against envy and wrath and vengeance. We come against grudges, holding grudges, holding grudges. Manifest yourself and go. Loose the people of God now in the name of Jesus. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Selfishness, self-love, self-righteous anger, disobedience spirits go. Manifest and go. Rebellion and witchcraft, manipulation and control. You manifest and go now in the name of Jesus. And we come against those spirits of depression. Depression right now, go. Spirits of depression, come off of the minds of the people of God. Move now. Depression, go. Move now. We loose the joy of the Lord upon you now in the name of Jesus. We loose the joy of the Lord upon you now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Guile, bitterness and guile, go. Bitterness and guile, go. Manifest and go. Manifest and go now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we come against those spirits of confusion. Confusion, you manifest and go. Spirits of confusion that are linked up with mind control. Confused about whether to go or to stay at a particular church. Confused about whether to go or stay in a particular relationship. We bind the spirit of confusion right now and we loose the mind of Christ in the name of Jesus. Go, go, all you demons, go. Spirits of legalism, Spirits of legalism, go right now in the name of Jesus. Manifest yourself and go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Manifest and go. Manifest and go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father God, we just praise you. We come against those spirits of withholding, countering, discounting, verbal abuse, blocking and diverting. We come against you now in the name of Jesus, the inability to communicate, fear of communicating, fear of letting yourself be known, fear of expressing yourself, fear of saying who you are, fear of being who God has called you to be. We come against you now in the name of Jesus. You manifest yourself and go and lead the people of God. Leave the grounds in the name of Jesus. Manifest and go, judging, critical. Go now in Jesus' name. All name-calling spirits, thinking it's okay to call names, you manifest and go in the name of Jesus. Unwrap and uncoil off the voice box of the people. Unwrap and uncoil. Come out of their emotions. Come out of the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Come out of the heart now in the name of Jesus. Manifest and go. Manifest and go in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Denial. Denial that anything that was taught today is for you. Denial. Be exposed in the name of Jesus. Be exposed in the hearts of the people. Be exposed in my heart. Be exposed in the hearts of your people. God, we want to serve you with all that we have, God. We want more of you, God. For there is none but you, God. You are the great I am. You are El Shaddai. We worship you, God. We adore you. We cry out to you for deliverance, God. You said that if we cry out for you, God, that you will show up. And God, we cry out for you for deliverance. We cry out because we need you, Lord. There is no other God but you. We need you, Lord. Manifest yourself in our lives, God. Manifest yourself in this house today, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Oh, Rabba Shata. Mandirio, Sandirio, Sandiria Sata. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you our minds and our wills and our emotions, God. And we want no one to control us in those areas but you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you know us better than we know ourselves, God. We know that you love us, God. And we seek your face, God. We need you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. The stress of being in a verbally abusive relationship, manifest and go out of the hearts and the minds of the people. Move out of their stomachs. Move out of their souls, God. In the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we love you. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you all of the honor, the envy, and the jealousy that builds up in people who are abusers. We just say manifest and go right now in Jesus' name. Manifest and go in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we worship you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor. We thank you, Father God. Oh, you are worthy of all our praise. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Father, we bind right now vexes and hexes right now. All spiritual witchcraft, Father God, all spirit of mind control, all spirits that do not want to leave, we bind and break your power and your authority over the house now in the name of Jesus, and we curse you at the root. We thank you, Father God, that the blood of Jesus covers us. We bind backlash and retaliation right now in the name of Jesus. We give you glory. We give you all of the honor, for there is none like you. We bind those spirits, Father God, from attacking our families or ourselves in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that your angels are on the grounds and that everything, every lesson, every word that is spoken from this point on, Father God, that these words will join together, Father God, by your Spirit and continue to set your people free. Father, we praise you. We give you all the glory and we give you all of the honor in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, for those that have worked to prepare the food in the kitchen. We ask you, Father God, to bless them, to bless the work that their hands have done, God. We ask you to do that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And God, we want to get to give you the praise because you are the deliverer. I just relinquish, Father God, anything that anyone would say to me that would cause me to be flattered. I bind and break that on me, on myself right now, God. Because it's nobody but you, God. Nobody but you, God. Nobody but you, God. Nobody but you, God. It's all about you. It's all about you loving your people, God. Move on your people, God. Cause your people to be set free. Cause them, God, to be able to walk in all that you want them to walk in, God. All that you have for them, God. We break the spirit of tradition and mindsets that cause them, Father God, not to be able to see and to know your will for their lives, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you. I love you guys.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.